I would like this evening to address just a few remarks to parents about some of the things that your children have to face in the living of life that maybe we didn't have to when we were younger. Some years ago, not too many, 5 or 6 perhaps, I was in the coffee shop of a hotel in Hartford, Connecticut after having given a talk the night before. I was about ready to go to the airport. And I read this letter in the paper. It was a letter to Ann Landers. I'd like to read it to you. Dear Ann Landers, I am writing this letter to turn on a light in the heads of parents who are living in the dark. I've discussed this with my friends and can tell you there are plenty of them out there, parents living in the dark. I am a 17-year-old high school senior, an honor student, active in student government and sports. I come from an upper middle class family. I am the youngest child and the only girl. It bugs me that my parents think I am an innocent child and they treat me like one. The truth is, parents today don't have any idea what their teenagers are really like and how much stress they are forced to deal with in their daily lives. In my own circle of friends, these kids are all considered decent, not trash. 2 girls have had abortions. 1 has had a baby and married 3 months later. Another has a stepfather who abuses her sexually. 2 have attempted suicide. And another admitted to me that she is gay. As for me, I have had an affair with a married man. We all drink liquor occasionally, but not to excess. And we have all smoked pot. Every person I have named is in the top 10% of the graduating class of more than 1,000 students. They are the last ones you would expect to be involved in the behavior I have described. If parents knew what their sons and daughters go through during adolescence, they would be able to communicate and deal with them better. Signed, your teenager. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that letter says a whole lot more than I could say, perhaps in a lifetime. So let's talk about what your kids go through out there and maybe offer you a few notions as to how to help them. Most parents suffer from a colossal ignorance. You do not know what's going on. You do not know much about the use of alcohol and drugs that's going on, and many do not want to know. I don't want to be bothered. Those problems are never going to happen here. I don't want to hear anything about it. A woman got me to come out to a Midwestern state to give a talk. She met me at the airport, and on the way to the hotel, she was telling me that about 6 months before, she had gotten a lecturer to give a free community lecture on drug abuse. 1 month before the talk, they bombarded the area. Radio, TV, and newspapers. The talk was free. 6 people showed up. I don't want this thing to happen in my family, therefore it won't. I don't want to hear anything about it. Do you know the result of such ignorance? I know a family very well indeed, had a son in high school. He had a project from his science class, so he told his mother. He had a plant growing in the house. And he was going to camp for 2 or 3 days, and he asked his mother to water the plant. She did. Marijuana. She was watering her son's marijuana plant and didn't know it. Didn't know what marijuana looked like. She watched with her own 2 eyes what was happening to her son. The lethargy, the sleeping late, the absolutely horrible grades, his withdrawal from everything and everybody. his lack of participation in anything, the bloodshot eyes, the complete loss of ambition, every single sign, she didn't know what it was telling her. Of course, she didn't know anything about marijuana and the effect it has on children. I spoke to two young ladies in Atlanta, Georgia. Both of them said we could be blind drunk in front of our parents. They said nothing until we got in trouble with the law. Then it was all kind of emotional hullabaloo. So, what's the answer to all of this? We see changes in behavior, changes in attitude, changes in everything, and say they're growing up. What is the answer to all of this? How does one reply to this little girl? How does she get her parents to listen? May I offer you a couple of suggestions? Three things. I call them the shuns. Education, communication, and cooperation. Learn about alcohol and drugs. Local councils on alcoholism have these seminars. They put on educational things time and time and time again. Literature flows almost like water. Most of it is there for the asking. AA and Al-Anon put out pamphlets that cost nothing. Learn, learn, learn. Know what to look for. Know what it is when you see it. Communication. Communication is a great thing. I believe this very firmly. I don't know how families who have been functioning for a while will do it, but I think that young couples contemplating marriage should strongly and seriously consider this. A weekly meeting, 1 hour or less, with the whole family. Families today are fragmented. I can remember as a kid growing up until I left to go to the seminary, practically 7 nights a week, all 9 of us, my parents and the 7 children, were at the dinner table. Today, we're lucky if maybe twice a year everybody is at the same meal. This one does this, that one. That's the nature of things today. I wonder if we couldn't set aside an hour that is sacrosanct in which people could express themselves without being shamed, without being publicly embarrassed. You don't look at a 4-year-old and say, "Ah, shut up, what do you know?" You don't look at your teenager and say, "Well, how long have you been on this earth?" Listen to the child. So often I've heard in homes of children just being told, "Shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up." After a while, you shut up. And you share nothing. Especially aches and pains. Because when you do, they're ridiculed. Communicate, communicate, communicate. That's good, but it always ends there. I've heard all these great seminars put on about communication. Let's communicate. Okay, after you've communicated, now what? What do you do with what you've communicated? What do you do with what you've heard? What do you do with what you've learned? First of all, in the communication, why can't you parents get together with other parents? If you have problems in your home, share them. I'm 1 of 7. I'm right in the middle. 3 older, 3 younger. My brothers and sisters have had their share of problems. From divorce, to pregnancies, to suicide. You get nowhere if you don't talk about them to people who can't open up. If somebody just blurts out, or after a while the pain is so great they have to say what's happening in their house, share what's happened in yours. Don't just have a family hour. Share with each other. Share with your teachers. Communicate. Why? In order to cooperate in the findings of solutions. Let me share something with you that hit me very powerfully. A man in AA had about 5 years sobriety, had a son who got in trouble one afternoon with the law, and he was so emotionally upset, he grabbed hold of himself and bit his tongue, went into a room all by himself and said, "I must not say a word now. If I do, I'll kill him. I will hold off for a day." And he did. He had learned this in AA. Don't make a major decision. Don't perform a major action when you're in the throes of deep emotion. And so he slept on it as best he could sleep. But at the end of about 24 hours, he had calmed down enough for this thing to get straight. When the boy came in the next afternoon from school, called him aside, they went in the room. Guess what he said to that young man? He said, "Now, what do you think we should do about this?" He had some ideas. The son had some ideas. They put them together and came up with a solution in about 20 minutes. What do you think we should do about this? You have family problems. Why not talk them over with a family that's had the same problems and handled theirs? Do you need the cooperation of others? You bet you do. A good friend of mine had a family problem one time. His son had gotten into a little bit of trouble and he overpunished him. Happened in January. The boy couldn't leave the house except to go to school and church. Couldn't drive the car. By April, all this was to last till June. By April, that house was an explosion waiting to happen. And one Sunday at the dinner table, the father and the son got into an argument and he hit his son. Mother went almost berserk. That had never happened in their home. The man called, please listen to this. He called me on the phone. "Got to see you." I said, "Fine." He said, "Father, you'll never know what this telephone call is costing me." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I have a very serious family problem and I think I should be able to handle it myself. It's killing me to ask for outside help." I said, "You're a fool, but come on down." And he did. Why was he a fool? I'm not saying that in a nasty sense. No one is judging his own case. If I had all my answers and you had all your answers, I wouldn't need you. But you see, what's worse, you wouldn't need me and nobody would need anybody. Nobody's judging his own case. So he came down and we settled it very, very quickly because the answer was simple. I said, why have you come to me? And he said, "Well, I need your advice." I said, "I'll give it, but if you don't follow it, don't you come back." And he was hurt. But that's all right. He got it. He said, "What should I do?" I said, "Did you overreact and overpunish?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Go tell him and lift it." "I can't do that. He'll lose respect." I said, "He's already lost respect for you. This is a 17-year-old boy. He made a mistake and admitted it. He knows you made one. He also knows you're not man enough to admit it." So I said, you asked my advice and I just gave it to you. Now, if you don't want to take it, fine, but don't come back. So he went home and did it, and the thing was solved. It was solved very easily. The man simply thought that as an authority figure, he shouldn't make mistakes, or if he did, he shouldn't own up to them. We need the cooperation of each other. If somebody has a problem that you have had before them, share. If they've had a problem that you are just now going through, go and ask for help. Cooperate, cooperate, cooperate. And I think where secondary school kids are concerned, your teachers are involved in the lives of your children. Get with them. Learn to communicate with them and learn to cooperate with them in programs that are going to help to alleviate some of these crazy things that go on in schools. You know that letter by the young girl? I read that to a group of young leaders. I gave a talk, and when it was over, I was ready to leave. And the prettiest girl in the room, there were about 60 of them, prettiest girl in the room came up to me crying. She said, "Father, I've been involved in practically everything that girl wrote about." She said, "Our parents haven't the foggiest notion of what we go through. Not the faintest." Be a friend and a guide to your children, not a buddy. You're a parent. They expect that of you. They have a right to demand that of you. And if they challenge you and you're too weak and you let them win, they could spit on you. I'm sure if you asked them, they wouldn't say that, but they've told me that. There's a lady in England who trains dogs with the three F's: be firm, be fair, and be fun. I think that should be the three F's that should control anybody training anything or anybody. As parents, be a parent. Be parents. You are authority figures in your home. Act like it. I don't mean be a Hitler. I don't mean that at all. I mean have your own basic rules, and they're not to be discussed. Everything else in your family meeting, bring it up. Listen to them at any hour. But if there are rules that they know and you know and you know and they know that you have the obligation to keep them, then keep them. It's very unpopular to be at the top of anything, even a family. It's very unpopular to be the fellow that says no to somebody who wants the answer to be yes. Young people in treatment centers respect me because I simply tell them the truth and I never prostitute a principle. They may not like what I say. Some don't. But they respect me. And I'd far rather have their respect than their... Well, I'd rather be respected than anything. Be firm, be a parent. If a correction is called for, correct. They expect it. If a reprimand is called for, reprimand. They expect it. If praise is called for, praise. They expect it. I don't know why many parents get into the habit of putting their children down. There's nothing more detrimental to growth than that. But for heaven's sake, always be fun. Always be fun. Life is just too short. Surprise them with goodies. Try to think back when you were a kid. Who in the adult world did you love the most? Wasn't it somebody that could bring a smile to your face? For heaven's sake, be fun. Life without a chuckle is the pits. But above all else, in spite of all this stuff, I got this just from listening to other people. It's all in books. I just condensed it. But when all is said and done, you know how you're going to mold your children? Through your own attitudes towards alcohol and drugs. Oh, we have a giant drug problem out there on the streets. I think we have one equally large in your medicine cabinets. What kind of an example do you set for your children? You know what education is? It's not the schools you send your kids to. That's important, yes. To educate means to equip for adulthood. It is up to you to teach your children that life is composed of two parts, pleasant things and unpleasant things. And you have to teach them how to cope with both, preferably without using chemicals to do it. And you will teach that not with your mouth, but by the example of your own behavior. And I wish you luck, and I back you up with my prayers. Your job as parents is an awesome job, and I do not envy you. So if you get a good day, squeeze it to death, because life is loaded with enough of them that have thorns in them. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening to me.